I did not expect to come back so soon to talk to you guys, but you know it was a good fucking night when I get up early on a fucking Sunday to talk about fucking fights. This is why I do this right here for fucking nights like Saturday night's fight card. I'm so stoked about last night's card. It was just, for the most part, every single fight I enjoyed. I am not going to prolong this any further. Let's just get right into the main card. Dustin Poirier versus Dan Hooker. I think we can all agree. Definitely in the conversation for fight of the year. It was just a beautiful performance by both. The durability on Hooker, I was shocked. I knew that the guy was an amazing mixed martial artist. I just did not expect for him to come out there and take every fucking, just eat everything that Poirier had to give to him. On the other hand, Poirier, Jesus Christ, the guy, just from beginning to end, the pace that the guy pushed was so impressive. I mean, the most impressive thing. I mean, that's what he's known for, but I just think that last night it was just to another level, if not more impressive than his fucking striking, his head movement. I mean, just one of the most elite boxers. We know this already, but his performance to be able to just take punishment from Hooker, never looked hurt. The only time that I could say he really looked hurt was when he got hit with the knee. And I think that he mentioned that in the post interview. I mean, it was just a beautiful performance. It was great on the mat. It was great standing up. I mean, the body shots. Poirier mostly stuck around the head area, kind of striking. Hooker did mix it up a lot more. He had a lot more kicks, a lot more body hits. But it was just a beautiful performance from both guys. I think that Hooker got outclassed. At the end of the fight, you know what I'm saying, when it comes to when he, like, the bell rings, Hooker was on the ground on his fucking knees, could not fucking stand up. Poirier comes over and he's just ready for round six. And this is why we fucking love Poirier, right? Savage ass motherfucker just comes up to him and says, "What's up? Get up." Hooker couldn't even get off. He had to force himself to get off of the ground. And for Poirier to just come on top of him, over him, and say, "Let's go. Round six. What's up?" I know that he didn't say that. I know that, I think it was Michael Bisping that said that. But that's exactly what this posture was, just standing over him like that, watching him. I wish a picture would have came out where he was kind of doing that and how exhausted Hooker really was. He had a beautiful performance, like I said. It was just remarkable how he was able to get every shot that he took and ate. I was really impressed, just like I said, with his durability. I mean, Dustin Poirier gave him, he just would not go down. It was just an epic fight. I really want to talk about, if you listened to last episode, you know that I had talked about what's next for Daniel Poirier. Okay, sorry, not Daniel Poirier, Dustin Poirier. So I want to see Tony Ferguson versus Dustin Poirier. Like, I want to see that. Even if Dustin Poirier wins, are we going to be mad that Dustin Poirier, you know, fights both guys who he had already fought? No, because I don't give a fuck if he already fucking knocked out Justin Gaethje. Justin Gaethje, if he wins Khabib versus the fight versus Khabib, why wouldn't you want to see him come back to see how much he's evolved as a fighter since he has fought Dustin Poirier? And let's say that Dustin Poirier does, Khabib does win that fight and ends up giving him the shot to Dustin Poirier, and they end up fighting. Don't you want to see how Dustin Poirier has improved since their last fight? I mean, it's a win-win situation. Now let's reverse it. Let's say that Tony Ferguson wins Dustin Poirier. Who the fuck doesn't want to see another fight between Tony Ferguson and Justin Gaethje? Now, let's say that Khabib wins that fight. Who the fuck doesn't want to see Khabib versus Tony Ferguson rebooked for the eighth time? I mean, it's a win-win situation. What's next for Hooker? I'd like to see him and Charles Oliveira. Yeah, that would be an amazing fucking fight. Obviously, they need some time off. I think that the way that Dustin Poirier had mentioned it after the fight, I think he wants to take a little bit of a layoff, which is completely fine because it'll give the shot. It'll give them the shot. It'll give Justin Gaethje and the Khabib fight some time. Obviously, they'll fight. He'll have some time, and it'll give them some time to kind of work some stuff out so that the Dustin Poirier versus Tony Ferguson fight can happen, and then possibly book the winner of that with the winner of just Khabib versus Justin. Tell me if I'm crazy for thinking this. I'm just super excited for that entire scenario right there. It's just, it makes me so fucking happy, honestly, that you guys could probably tell how overexcited I am. But this is, like I said, why I fucking do this shit. So let's go on. Let's move on to, I can't even breathe. Do you hear me? It's kind of ridiculous. So I'm trying to do this without any editing at all so that you guys can see the like real excitement of when I get to talking about these fights. Up next was Mickey Gall versus Mike Perry. So, Lord, where do I start here? Let's just talk about the fight. It was an interesting fight. It was exactly what I expected. The fact that Mickey Gall is a black belt in jiu-jitsu and had multiple chances to be able to capitalize on some of the mat moments, it just shows you what I had said. I have no confidence in Mickey Gall as a fighter. And that's just, even though he kept up, he was in trouble most of the fight. He was running a lot of the time. Anytime that Mike Perry kind of got even near him, Mike Perry's just a fucking scary ass motherfucker. What we expect out of Mike Perry, right? I think that there wasn't much to talk about that fight other than, you know, Mike Perry's corner and how uncomfortable I felt watching the end of that first round's break. I think the girlfriend asked him, like, are you doing okay, baby? Obviously, the corner didn't hurt because he won the fight. I had heard after, I had no idea, that Mike Perry apparently said that he had only like sparred twice or some shit like that for this fight. I mean, I'm not surprised. There's only one fucking Mike Perry. Like, what are you gonna fucking do about that? You know what I mean? It's just, there's no explaining with this dude. It's just, he's so insane. So, you know what? I'm logging onto Instagram and everyone is now posting about Dustin Poirier versus Ferguson. So I'm assuming that this hype behind it will hopefully push this fight to be booked. I am fucking in it. Let's make this happen. Sorry to go back to that, but you know, I just had to throw that out there again. Anyway, back to Mike Perry, his post interviews, very Mike Perry. Mike Perry was talking about the fucking Uncle Sam taking too much of his money. Bro, same. Like, what the fuck? That's all of us. That is nothing that the UFC can control. Like, it just shows you how fucking wacko that dude is. He's a very unique character in the UFC, and I can't say that I'm not entertained by it, or I'm not even mad about it. It just makes me uncomfortable to talk about the dude sometimes. All right, so moving on to Maurice Greene versus Volante. This fight is, I spoke about this with somebody that had said something on a comment on the podcast IG. One of the weirdest fucking finishes I've ever seen. Well, submission, as far as submissions. Green was absolutely losing this fight in my eyes. Volante at one point was going to finish him. I felt like it was definitely going to finish him. He was on top doing some ground and pound. I don't know at what point Green got a hold of his neck and put his arm over and started tightening at his neck. Now, mind you, I am trying to watch the fight, but at the same time, I'm kind of like at a birthday party. So I turn around for a split second, and I turn around, back around, and look at the screen, and I see fucking Vellante tapping. I had to rewatch it, and I said, I must have missed something probably pretty big. I didn't even realize what happened. Turned back around, I watched the replay and was still confused. It just, the positioning that Green was on his back. And it was just the positioning. And in no way, shape, or form did I feel like Vellante was in any type of danger from that position. That squeeze must have been, it just didn't look like a tight squeeze. It didn't, it was really weird. And even if you look at the results, the name for it, it just modified choke from the bottom. That's what it says. And it was really weird. Yeah, but for the most part, I felt like Green, yeah, he won that fight technically, but he got out. I don't know if he got outworked by Gian, but he was definitely losing the fight, I feel like. Green didn't look impressive to me, and that's just what it is. Vellante moved up to heavyweight. He should not have did Green the way that he did, but he ended up taking the fight at the last minute, so props to him, I guess. Moving on to the Brandon Allen versus Kyle Daukaus fight. So this fight, you guys, was just, other than the main event, it was the best fight on the card. It was an absolute battle. Like, right off the bat, they come in hot. Allen throws a knee. He gets on the ground. He takes Daukaus back. He reverses. Daukaus takes the back. Allen reverses it again at some point. At one point, Allen hurts Daukaus really bad. He hits Daukaus with a brutal elbow, and I want to say it was an elbow, I want to say it was a punch, I didn't really see, but he gashes him, and at the end of the second round, Allen ends up hitting him, and it kind of drops him. I don't know what would have happened. It literally happened at the same time that the bell rang, so I don't know what would have happened, but what an absolute battle by these two guys. They go into the third, and for me, it was Allen, the second, you know, he took the first and the second round, and Daukaus, for the most part, on the last round, he pretty much dominated him on the mat. He really showed incredible perseverance on the feet, on the ground, but he pretty much dominated. The only thing that I have to say about the win, for I do agree with the win with Allen. I just do not agree the 30-27 that they gave to Allen. He was losing that round up until the very end of that round. So I think that was pretty fucked up for them to like just go out there and say that, you know, Daukaus just didn't do absolutely nothing in that round, which was absolutely not true. Like, it's not accurate to say that. So if you didn't watch the fight, you gotta go back and watch that fight. It was really fucking good. All right, so moving on to the next fight, though. Wow, you guys, I'm telling you, so many great fights. Julian Erosa versus Sean Woodson. Erosa being the biggest underdog on this card, outworked the shit out of Woodson. Okay, let me just start off by saying that Woodson, he looked great on the feet first round, in my opinion, or from what I remember. Erosa literally did so well. Beautiful working the body, the, you know, up top combinations, looked great in this fight, and I do not think people expected him to be this good. I mean, I think that in going into the second round, I think that both of them looked really well. I think that at the end of the second round, Woodson looked tired as fuck. And then kind of Erosa started kind of fading into it as well, but also still more effective than Woodson in all of the shots that he was taking. Now, in the third round, Woodson comes out looking a little bit more fresh. He drops Erosa, but Woodson came out with a little bit more urgency because he might have been behind on rounds. He realized that he was up his corner. I'm not sure if they told him. Erosa goes in with some bows, takes him down, takes his fucking back, and submits him. It was just a great fight, and it just shows you cannot fucking count anyone out. I had picked Woodson to finish this fight. Yeah, overall great fight. That's another one that you have to really go back and watch. Shit, man. Moving on, we have Pena versus Worthy. Wow, another fight that people checked the. I did not check the odds on this, but pretty sure everyone pretty much took Pena. I mean, Pena's head movement, I have to say, for this fight was just. It's so insane to me. His head movement is so, like, he's so elusive. Like, he literally will get in your face. Well, this is me describing something that you guys already know. Worthy would throw punches and he would be so near hitting him. A lot of the time within this first and second round, I thought that if Pena would have been a fucking tiny bit closer, Worthy would have knocked him the fuck out. It just looked that way. Like Worthy was really putting it onto him. But at the end, you know, I think that Pena got too cocky and he ended up, Worthy ended up taking his back and submitting him, bro. So, yeah. We had a lot of guillotine finishes as well as attempts, a lot, even in the main event. The next one, I kind of already suspected this. I felt like Felipe Lins, although he won the PFL $1 million, since he's been in the UFC, I just haven't been impressed with him. Dude fights like a bag of potatoes. There was no difference here. Boser took this fight. Now we just need to book Green versus Boser. I'm right now saying that I picked Boser on that fight. He looked great in this fight. So moving on to Kay Hansen versus Jin Yu Frey. I'm not surprised, motherfuckers. Kay Hansen looked amazing in this fight, yet young. I don't know if that makes any sense to you, but the age difference. So Jin Yu is 35. Kay Hansen is 20. Obviously, Jin Yu, both coming from the Invicta. Jin Yu was a lot older. But I think that even if she lost this fight in submission, I mean, I knew that she was going to, Kay Hansen was going to win this fight via submission. Also, we had a lot of people from 10th Planet. She is a 10th Planet chick. A lot of people came out and supported her on Twitter and all of this bullshit. But anyway, back to the fight. I knew she was going to win by submission. What I mean by even that she looked young, great but young, is she was able to take a lot of the punishment from Jin Yu. Yet she was not as strong. What I mean by strength is, like, I feel like Jin Yu was stronger in just like age. I don't know if that makes sense. But for example, Kay Hansen, if you watch this fight, Kay Hansen tried multiple times to not only take Jin Yu down, but she tried to judo toss her multiple times. She was not able to really have the power to be able to finish any of those attempts. I think not one. I don't even know. I think that what ended up happening, let's see. So Hansen had tried to toss her like four times before submitting her. I'm not even sure if she ended up tossing her or ended up being like a reverse situation where she, Jin Yu ended up just, you know, making the mistake of giving up her arm. But I didn't even notice. I also, a side note, I had no idea that Jin Yu had cut Kay Hansen at some point. I only realized that after the fight was already, you know, over. But yeah, she's young. She is really young. And I think that she needs to improve in her strength. And also she could use this fight to kind of really look back at tape and see where she was lacking, because on the feet she took a lot of damage that she didn't need to take. She needs to work on her defense. Junye, as far as Junye, she's champion. She was doing everything that she could. She just doing a good job and giving her the damage, but it wasn't enough. It wasn't enough to take Kate Hansen down, and somebody like Kate Hansen needs to have been knocked out. She needed to like finish her. Because going the distance, I just didn't Jun Yu winning this fight for the distance, exactly because of this reason. Eventually Kate Hansen would have take it to the mat and did exactly what she did, which is submit her with the triangle armbar. I don't know what's next for Jun Yu. I think that if anything, she's going to be maybe a gatekeeper for, give her a couple more fights for like the beginning fighters that are coming out of Invicta. You know, for Kay Hansen, the world is right in front of her. She's going to do great in this division. I know Ronda Rousey had shouted her out and said it was a great armbar. So I think going in to the UFC, she is going to have a lot of success. She just needs to tighten up her game. So those are pretty much all the fights that I wanted to talk about. I really just wanted to come on, and I feel a lot more calm now that I've let out all of this information. Like I said, I will be back to cover 251. I'm not sure if I'm going to be doing a pre or a, I probably am, but I probably will also be doing a post episode for UFC 251. And I also am going to try to cover every fight on Fight Island in July. We'll see. I don't have school right now, so I have a lot of free time in my hands. So hopefully I can get my shit together and be able to record at least a pre-fight or a post-fight for each one of those fights. I'm not going to commit myself to be able to do both for all of them, but I definitely will be more updated with you guys. I'm just happy that I got up and I got to record this episode for you guys. Just a drop, a quick little surprise episode for all of you guys that did watch the fight. And even if you didn't, I think I just gave a pretty good description on what happened last night. If you didn't get to watch them, go ahead and watch them. It was a great card. So that's all for now. Oh, I didn't give you guys a fight to rewatch, and I didn't really think about one either. Let's see if I have to think of one at the top of my head. You know what? I'm going to go. I always go into something quick like this. I always go into Robbie Lawler's like fucking fights, because you're not going to get a bad fight. So I'm going to go ahead and say Robbie Lawler versus Johnny Hendricks. How about that? We'll do that one. It was a fucking legit fight. Yeah. So there is my fights to rewatch. Go back and watch that one. And that one's a fucking banger. It goes all the way down to decision. And yeah, unfortunately, this is where Robbie Lawler loses his belt. But I promise you that it is one to watch. That's it for today, guys. Don't forget to subscribe to the podcast, Girly MMA Fan, as well as don't forget to follow me on IG. It is Girly MMA Fan. Y'all have a great rest of your Sunday.